Hello, and welcome to the Responsive Family Sleep Podcast. I'm your host, Kim Hawley, holistic sleep coach, lactation consultant, peaceful parenting educator, and mom. If you've ever felt overwhelmed by all the conflicting sleep info, frustrated with sleep information that just plain felt wrong, or searched desperately for a truly gentle and responsive sleep approach, then you are in the right place. In each episode, we'll be answering your most pressing baby and toddler sleep questions, busting those sleep myths, and helping you understand truly developmental, biologically normal baby and toddler sleep, plus encouraging you to trust your intuition along the way. Let's get started. Hello and welcome back. Today in this episode, we are talking all about floor beds. Now, I love floor beds. Like, I really do. I think they're an underutilized tool and sleep setup that can make a lot of parents' life just a lot easier, particularly in certain situations that we'll chat about today. And yet, I feel like a lot of people either have never heard of a floor bed or feel really anxious about your little one having that much freedom, or just feel completely daunted with the setup. And I kind of feel like there are two types of things that are hard to do when it comes to maybe anything, but, you know, sleep specifically, of course, in my realm. There's like the stuff that's hard more often, right? As in, it's hard to get three kids through a bedtime routine with one parent, right? Like, that's hard. And there are tips and there's tricks and there's hacks and there's ways to make it easier over time. And you get that routine going and it's easier, but there's still three kids and one adult, right? And then there's things that are just like, it's hard, but it's a one-time hard or a one-weekend hard, like setting up a floor bed or safety-proofing a room, or changing out your lighting, or things that it's like once they're done. And then it just is. And I think sometimes we forget about piecing those types of hards out because they're both can revolve a lot of thought and planning. But one of them, it's like, as soon as we're done. And the other one, it's like, we have to keep re-engaging with that hard thing until it really does become smooth and efficient because it's a habit and a routine and well-formed. So not that this specifically is about floor beds, but floor beds are one of those things where a lot of parents are like, oh my God, how in the world do we shift something like that? And yet, It is just something we set up and then it's done. So, all that being said, let me back up. What is a floor bed, right? We have to know what a floor bed is to know if we want to use one and how to set one up. A floor bed just basically is a bed on the floor, right? It is exactly what it sounds like. It is a low bed or a mattress on the floor. And, you know, this is often not how we picture a kid's room or a nursery, right? We picture a bassinet, a crib, maybe some bed sharing, but we don't necessarily picture a floor bed. And yet, floor beds are very culturally normative around the world, and they are very popular in Montessori-style nurseries, and so that's a good one if you want to do some image searching, you know, search Montessori floor beds or Montessori nurseries. But we don't think of these things as much, and yet they are really common a tool. And so floor beds give your little a lot of freedom, right? And they also mean we have to make a safe environment to have that freedom. So the first thing about a floor bed that I want you to be thinking about is safety, right? First, it's like, okay, what is it? Sure. And we'll get into when it should be used or when it is most helpful. But the first thing we have to do is think about safety. And safety because your little can crawl or roll or walk off the bed, right? And wander the room or the house if we don't have appropriate safety proofing. That's not a good idea, right? We need to make sure that they're safe. A crib can be wonderful because it's totally designed around your baby or toddler's safety and it contains them. And yet a crib can be problematic because it can be really a struggle, right? Not all babies sleep well in a crib. Not all babies transfer well into a crib. And so the sort of flip side is the floor bed gives us a lot of freedom, a lot of flexibility, but also comes with a greater need for safety proofing. So first thing is, like I said, a floor bed can be the mattress on the floor, or you can get like a very low bed frame. A lot of people do want to create a bit of air circulation under the mattress, especially if you are in a really humid environment, just to get some airflow. So you don't have any mildew or, you know, mold or anything under the mattress. And so some folks do that with basic slats, just low slats to get some airflow. There are also mats designed to create airflow that are just a single mat to go under the mattress. And so those can be options as far as creating some airflow. Another thing is, if your baby is going to sleep on the mattress by themselves and they're under 12 months, then technically speaking, the safest thing is to use your crib mattress, because that is, you know, designed specifically around the level of firmness for a baby. Now, a toddler, whole different story, right? But also, if you're going to bed share on this floor bed for a part of the night, then obviously you need to pick an adult mattress, a nice, firm adult mattress that you would feel safe bed sharing with, right? And that's nice and firm. And so there's some, you know, some gray area there, depending on how you're going to use the floor bed. And the floor bed can be for bed sharing. Lots of people do a big, you know, queen or king size floor bed for bed sharing. And lots of people do a twin or full size floor bed to work on independent sleep. And then some people want that real nice and simple crib mattress on the floor as their option. So no right or wrong way, just lots of options. So we're going to create some airflow. We're going to have a nice firm mattress. And then we need to think about safety proofing the room. And the first thing we need to do is, if baby were to roll off the mattress in the middle of the night, we want to make sure they have plenty of room to reposition their body. We do not want that mattress right up against a wall or another piece of furniture, because if it shifts, the mattress shifts, we could have an awkward gap that they could get wedged in and not be able to reposition themselves. So you want some nice, clear space around the mattress, just like with bed sharing, right? You don't want to have any gaps between like a bed frame and the mattress or furniture around the bed. It's the same concept here. The next thing we want to think of is, okay, baby can roll off, they're fine. Do you have really hard floors, right? If you have like concrete or tile floors, maybe put a rug down or get some of those foam, you know, interlocking tiles for like playrooms, and just create a little bit of cushion, something that's firm enough that, again, if a baby were to roll off it onto their tummy, they'd be safe. But if you have really hard floors, that can be helpful. So then we want to think about, okay, baby's wandering the room, or toddler's wandering the room. Is it safe? So all your furniture should be anchored. Nothing should be able to be tipped over onto your child. The outlets should be safety proofed. There should be no cords or strings or anything that baby could get tangled in, or toddler could get tangled in. And that's things from blinds, curtains, but also like cords from maybe your baby monitor or a white noise machine or something like that. So we need those managed and tucked away. We also want to make sure there isn't anything they could pull down onto themselves, like from on top of the dresser or the bookshelf, right? And so if we're going to have things put up, we want them up high enough. And if it is something like a baby monitor, then we want those cords tucked away and under some cord management strategies that have them so your kiddo cannot pull stuff down on top of them. And we also want to make sure that like toys are all safe toys, right? And so nothing that's choking hazard, nothing with small pieces, nothing that you aren't confident is safe to leave your little one entirely alone with, because if you're not in there and they have freedom of the room, that's exactly what you're doing, right? And so we want to just minimize the toys, have some 100% safe basic toys in there. Now, sometimes rooms are tricky to safety proof, and I have seen families do some really cool stuff with safety proofing, like baby gates or playpen gating, and gate off specific pieces of the room, or make a kind of a fence around the bed area. And there are floor bed frames that are essentially a floor crib and have that sort of fencing. Feels weird to say that, right? But a floor bed with that kind of fencing around it so that your little one doesn't have complete roam of the room. And so that is another option if you are worried about safety proofing or you have a climber that you just know is going to climb on the glider or the rocking chair, and yet that's an integral part of your sleep routines. So that's another option. You might also want to gate the door if your little, you know, does have free roam. I'm not the hugest fan of locking doors, like super closing doors. You know, it depends on your dynamics in your house. We really want to make sure that in the case of emergency, you can quickly get to your little one. So at least, you know, if the door is going to be closed, make sure there is something that you can open the door quickly, but your toddler can't open the door quickly. Otherwise, you could just put a gate at the door and leave it, you know, propped open. Either way, right? It's all about making sure they're not going to roam around the house in the middle of the night. And if you do want them to be able to leave their room to say, come into your room in the middle of the night, then just make sure the other things are gated, right? Any stairs are gated, any other doors are closed, that it is a safe for them to go from, say, their floor bed into your room to get you. So safety proofing is big, right? And it's just go through your room and think about what you need to do, make a list, get it done before you set everything up. And I'm going to link a blog post all about floor beds in the show notes, and that has a bit of a safety checklist. So if it's more helpful to see it as a checklist rather than hearing me talk about it, that's definitely something you can look at. So we know what a floor bed is. There's different options. You can create one out of anything from a crib mattress to a king size bed. You can bed share. You can use it for independent sleep. You want to safety proof. When are they the most helpful? Right? Now, I said they're really culturally normative in many countries, and they are, versus like our kind of culturally normative sleep setup is a high bed with a lot of floofy stuff on it, right? Lots of pillows, lots of big, heavy comforters and all that kind of stuff. So there are lots of times where a floor bed can be really useful. The times that I see make a huge difference are when transfers are really difficult. Right? There's only so many ways to kind of troubleshoot a transfer. And then if it's not working, we need to avoid the transfer, right? We can talk about all the different tips and tricks. And then at a certain point, transfers are awkward, right? You're lifting a baby or a toddler up over the side of a crib and lowering them down. It's like, no wonder that's jarring for them. And some really sensitive kiddos just don't take well to that motion. So if we have a floor bed, we don't have a transfer, because you can settle them down with you on the same surface, and then you are the one moving away rather than them moving away. So when transfers are tricky, floor beds are helpful. When you want to work on them falling asleep on their sleep surface, floor beds are helpful, right? Because again, they're falling asleep there with all the support from you, you getting up and going away, moving away. That's really different from an experience for them, and is often much, much easier. Another reason I love floor beds and where I think they're really helpful is moving away from bed sharing or co-sleeping. Because a baby or a toddler who slept in bed with you, maybe, you know, the crib isn't the best next step. It does work for some families. It's not impossible. But a lot of times you were bed sharing for a reason, and that was it was difficult to get your kiddo into the crib, right? And so a kiddo who's used to having a lot of freedom around their sleep space, maybe doesn't like being in a sort of more confined space, or just a little one that was hard to get into the crib might still be hard to get into the crib. And so it's a really natural transition to go from bed sharing in your bed to bed sharing a bit in their floor bed in their room, and then kind of letting them spend more and more time sleeping in there on their own. And so it can be a really, really nice transition. Another reason when floor beds tend to shine is just when you want the flexibility, right? When maybe you have a little one who sometimes sleeps better than others, and I mean, don't we all, right? But you're not always bed sharing with them all night, every night. Like some nights maybe they're on their own, but some nights when they're more wakeful, you want the freedom to be able to lay down with them without it being all or nothing. And so a floor bed, particularly a twin or larger, where they can sleep on their own on good nights or the part of the night that they sleep better, and you have the freedom to join or to switch which parent is joining. It just creates a lot more flexibility than a crib or bed sharing as your only options. And that flexibility can be really nice for some families. So those are a lot of situations where floor beds can be really, really helpful. One thing that I tend to hear a lot from parents is like, oh my gosh, what if my baby or toddler rolls off the floor bed, right? How are they going to know the edges? And this is a reasonable question. And like I said a little bit earlier in this episode, if you have really hard floors, create a little bit of cushion for them. But a lot of times kids will learn, right? Think about it. Eventually, your kid's going to sleep in a big kid bed, like an adult kind of, you know, twin bed, full bed, and they're going to learn where the edges of that bed are, right? They're not going to fall out of bed for the rest of their life. And so a lot of times littles will start to learn those edges when they're in a floor bed, maybe not right away. And certainly some super active, rolly all over the place kiddos are more likely to end up off their mattress than others. But also sometimes they don't care if they roll off the bed. And remember, it's a low bed. It's not a big fall. It's like a few inches. And you can get a nice low profile mattress. And as long as the floor isn't super hard, they might be fine. And of course, if you have a kiddo that is rolling off and it's waking them up, then maybe this isn't the right setup for them. Maybe we need to rethink your setup. Because of course, there's always going to be exceptions that find any sort of setup tricky. So I hope this gives you some things to think about, some ideas, and answer some of your questions about floor beds. Like I said, I use them a lot in my practice. I love them. I think they're a really helpful tool. I think that when we overfocus on independent sleep having to be in a crib, we limit our options and we can make it more challenging. And so it's always good to have more choices and more ways to explore different setups to meet your goals and to support everyone getting as much sleep as they can in a given phase. Thank you for joining me today. I hope this episode left you feeling more informed, confident, and encouraged on your sleep journey. And just a reminder before you go that nothing in this episode is individualized to your specific sleep situation, nor is it to be taken as medical advice. Take what resonates, ignore what doesn't, and check with your healthcare provider about any medical concerns. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast so that you'll never miss an episode. And take a moment to rate, review, or share an episode you love on social media. All of that helps parents just like you find me, this podcast, and this gentle and responsive sleep information. I'll see you next time.